once we were able to get everybody into the main auditorium here, we got started pretty early today, so hopefully things will continue that way. We certainly got started really early today because we got started an hour early, so I don't know about the rest of you, but my body will be messed up. My mind's always messed up, but my body will be messed up for the next few days. So that's just the way it is. But we do, as I told Linda this morning, the blessing from all this is that this evening we'll get another hour of sunlight that we would have gotten anyway, but it just seems like we got more time. I don't know. But I just, like probably everybody else, I just wish they'd leave it one way or the other. You know, we sometimes talk about some things that are powerful. Several of us like watching NASCAR, and it is amazing if you've ever been there or can hear those engines and the power that, and horsepower that they have in those things. Or maybe we might talk about some type of nuclear weapon, and it's amazing the devastation. And then you look at the things of nature that God has created, and you think, why did that particular thing happen, say in Japan or somewhere else? So powerful, so devastating. Happens in a very short period of time. Just amazing. Or we think about people who are powerful and they determine things. It's been amazing to me. I don't know about the rest of you, but as things have happened, say in the Middle East, you find out just how powerful some of those men were and what they own and what they have and how they control people's lives. And then, you know, you might think about a sports team that just wins over and over and over every year and how good they are. But when we talk about all those things, those are things of this earth and they are very temporary things. But the most powerful thing that we could ever think of or imagine is God. And it's very difficult for us to do that because we weren't there when He created everything. We can see the effects of what He's done, but to have been able to watch that being created, it would have amazed every one of us. But thinking of how powerful He is, we have some things that are associated with God that are powerful as well, much more powerful than any of those things I just talked about. Paul would talk about the Word of God, and in Romans 1, he would say that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. But you can see from that, as powerful as that word is, that a person that does not have faith in it, does not believe in it, it will not do a thing for them, as powerful as it is. But we also have another weapon that's at our disposal that's powerful, that I like talking about, and I haven't for some time, but we have been talking about it in our Bible classes off and on, and that's the power of prayer. And when we think about powerful prayers, and I was telling Linda this, one of our problems is when we look at it, I want to tell you what prayer can do. It can do some of the most amazing things. It can change nations. It can stop a storm, as Jesus was able to do. When we look at Christ doing things, we can see that He was able to do just amazing things, but He told His disciples that if they had that same kind of faith, and I know Roger was talking about this, and obviously he was more like Simon the Sorcerer. He just wanted to use it to his disposal. But he said, I'm just kidding, he's talking about casting the mountain into the sea or pulling up that tree just by asking God to do it. That's what he's saying. But what he's trying to let us know is that that's a minor thing. Just taking that mountain, moving in the sea, we saw actually, if you watched any of that or you watched any of the devastating things that have happened, you know, throughout my lifetime, and I've seen many of them, we can see that God has the ability to, if He so chooses, to change things. Now, I will also make a comment that when I look at things, I have no idea how much Satan is allowed to do and how much God does. And so I don't intervene in a lot of those things. Those things are happening at a much higher level. But when I think of the power of prayer, I start thinking about, you know, in Luke 18. Luke 18, he tells this parable about this woman. She's a widow. She keeps going to the judge. And this judge, he says, is one that does not fear God or man. In other words, he's powerful. He has the ability to change things, and he certainly knows that. So she wants to be avenged of her adversary, and she keeps going to him, going to him, and going to him, and he says, you know what? He said, though I do not fear God nor regard man, verse 4, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, you know what that's saying? As powerful as he was, he knew that if she kept coming to him, that sooner or later, he was going to let her have her way. So he thought, well, I might as well just go ahead and do this. And so he did it. What's the lesson taught? Well, how much did it change in her life? Well, it changed a lot. Apparently she had a very difficult time with whoever was bothering her, and so this judge can make that change in her life. Well, basically, if a judge could do that, he's saying how much more God than this judge. And he lets us know in this parable that people would not use prayer as they should. In other words, he's making a comment here that in reality, it's not being used. That he's simply saying, you know, the problem is, you have this tremendous weapon, if you will. And you can go to God anytime. It's very easy to do. But the problem is twofold. One is, you won't do it. Now, this widow understood the power of going to this man that she could get something from. But you don't understand the power you have with the Almighty. You know, and I think of how true that is. In verse 8, though, there's another problem. He said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Talking about God will avenge those that cry out to him day and night, though he bears long with them. In other words, you turn your problems over to God. Even if you've got a problem with someone else, give it to God. Give it to God. He'll do the avenging. He'll take care of it for you. If you have that kind of faith, and you'll continually go before him. But then he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You see, there's a twofold problem in this. One is, you just don't use it, and you give up too easy. And the second one is, you don't really believe God will do it anyway. Now, don't sit there, and I'll tell you this morning, don't sit there and tell me that these two things haven't happened to you, because I know they do to me, and I'll be honest about it. That in my lifetime, I haven't always used prayer like I should. This is a lesson for me, as Roger says, more so today than anybody else in this room. And the fact that as much as I have faith that God will answer it, do I really? And I need to examine my life today and think about, if that's that powerful, what will it stop? What can it do? What can it help? He said it'll help you with, certainly in this case, avenging those that are your enemies. Well, the Holy Spirit had Paul frequently urging Christians to be diligent in their prayers. Ephesians 6:18, praying sometimes. No, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Make it just a constant thing. You know, we like talking to people that can help us with things. We like discussing things with them because it helps us. Who better than our Lord and go through our Lord and Savior to our Father in heaven? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In other words, make it such a part of your life that you just do it on a constant basis. Make it your life. Colossians 4:2, continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. How many times have you noted when we've been studying these letters that Paul wrote, that he talks about prayer, how he used it, how he talked to them, how he wants them to use it for him? He understood. When I don't pray as I should, it might show that I don't appreciate how powerful prayer is, or I don't believe as much as I should in prayer. That's basically what we're saying. It might also show that I don't believe I need God as much as I should. It might say that I can do this on my own. Abe's doing this. It's not God. I can handle this. I don't need Him. Now, I might not be coming right out and saying that, but by actions I'm showing that. That I'm totally dependent on things of this world to get me through. That I don't talk to Him about things. You know, there was not too many things that I didn't like talking to my dad about. And it was so helpful when I could call him up and talk to him about something because he had the wisdom to help me with it. How much more my Heavenly Father? How powerful is it? It'll provide strength. How many of us need strength? How many of us are never weak? How many of us make it through every day and nothing ever bothers us? How many of us don't let anything get us down? Nothing. We just absolutely, we're just perfect in every aspect of this. We have the strength to do everything. Paul prayed the Ephesians might have strength in the inner man. In Ephesians 3, he prayed that they might get this strength they needed. And we've studied this book and we understand that they were starting to lose that. They didn't have it anymore. They didn't have that first love. And you know how he did this? I bow my knees, he said, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, Ephesians 3, starting verse 14, that He would grant you. He said, I got down on my knees and I prayed to my Father that He might grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That goes on to talk about Christ dwelling in their heart. And then in verse 20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Not just exceedingly, not just abundantly, but exceedingly abundantly more than we're able to ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He said, it will work. Don't start thinking when you're at your lowest point that God can't get you out of that. He will. Not miraculously, but He will do it. Boy, I need to start getting some kind of a spell check that's much better. If we need strength, we can pray for it. Isaiah 40. And again, we all at some point need strength. And too many times we're depending on others to help us. But I love this passage of Scripture. Who do we look to? Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? He said what they were doing was, they were thinking they were getting away with things, and on the other hand, they weren't asking for help from God. And they were thinking, well, God's not helping me anyway. He said, not true. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. What does He do? He gives power to the weak. When? They ask Him. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Don't believe He's not answering you, that He hasn't heard your just claim. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But he said, it's not a matter of age here. It's not a matter of, okay, young people. It's not that kind of strength. The kind of strength He gives us is the kind that will help us get from this earth to that one. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We'll never lose it. Wouldn't we want the power that's beyond our comprehension? It'll provide opportunity. When we're thinking about this, I need the strength sometimes too. And one of the things I need strength is to be able to talk to others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need that intestinal fortitude to say what I need to say, because when I get this opportunity, I need to use it. But God's the one who provides that. In 1 Corinthians 3, we find that He talks about Himself and Apollos, and He said, and I planted and Apollos watered, but who gives the increase? Well, it's God. God gives the increase. God provided all these opportunities for them. They weren't taking the credit themselves. They understood that. So He says in verse 7, then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God. God who gives the increase. How could you take credit? You didn't make the seed. You didn't make the heart. You're only using what God gave you. You didn't give yourself your talents. God gave them to you. So in reality, it's God. What are we then? Well, in verse 9, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And He said, according to the grace of God which was given to me. And that's every one of us. Paul's no different. As a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Our responsibility is to do what God wants us to do. We want for opportunity? It'll be from Him. He's the one. Look at 16 verse 9. He said he was tarrying in verse 8 in Ephesus unto Pentecost. Why? For a great, an effective door has opened to me that there are many adversaries. Paul realized that even though God had opened this great and effective door to him, it wasn't going to be without him having to combat some things. But who would help him through it? God. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me, by who? By the Lord. He understood that these opportunities had been given to him, and that's what we need to understand. And so, it's one of those things. You want a door opened? Well, ask for it. When it gets opened, have the strength to take advantage of it. And prayer will bring it. In Colossians 4, verse 3, what does he ask them to pray for him for? Well, he says in verse 2, contend earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains. Paul said, I want that opportunity. Wouldn't we want the Lord to give us opportunity to lead others to Him? Then let's pray for it. It'll provide boldness when we get that opportunity. We will speak boldly. The apostles needed it. In Acts 4, beautiful prayer they prayed to God, starting in verse 23. They understood that this was difficult. They understood that, not like us, they're going to get beaten for even talking about it. So when they let them go, what do? Well, in verse 24, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, You are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of Your servant David has said, why do the nations rage when the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly against Your holy servant Jesus, whom You anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever Your hand and Your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to Your servants that with all boldness they may speak Your word, by stretching out Your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. Now, we're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit like they were, but we can certainly pray for that and speak the Word of God with boldness. And you think about this. Do we need to pray for that? Absolutely. Paul said he needed the boldness. He asked for it in his prayers. Again, Paul, apostle, understood that this church at Ephesus, which was losing its first love, needed to pray for him. Why? He said, praying always, verse 18, and then 19, and for me, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We need it. Paul needed it. Wouldn't I need it? Wouldn't we want boldness when we speak to others about Christ? There's a big difference between people understanding what meekness is and what it really means. We still speak boldly. And it'll provide wisdom when we need it. The wisdom that we'll need to be able to talk to people, to be able to them. I have been praying for wisdom ever since I can remember. I need it. Not the kind of wisdom that I need to study for. The kind of wisdom that gives me insight to make the best use of the knowledge I have. A wisdom that says, I need to speak that the right way. I need to understand this person better. So instead of just blurting it out, maybe I need to know a little bit more about them. Maybe I need to understand them. Whatever it is, give me wisdom, Father. And in James 1, he says, and I've always thought this, if any man lack wisdom, I don't know of anybody other than Jesus Christ that had it fully, so I would say what he's saying is, you all lack wisdom. So how do you get this kind of wisdom, he says? Well, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, what is he going to say? But let him ask in faith. This goes back to what we started the sermon with. No faith, you won't get it. You believe you can get it from God? Ask him. If you don't believe you can get it from him, don't even bother. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Just a little bit of doubt's okay, right? No. Is that what he told his apostles? No. You can't doubt at all. You either believe that that prayer is this powerful, or you don't. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But again, he who doubts, in verse 6, is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You know what it calls a person who will pray to God and ask, but he doesn't really think he's going to get it? He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, he says in verse 8. 2 Chronicles 1, 7 through 12, we have Solomon. Solomon prayed. God said, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom. I want to know how to be able to deal with these people. I want to make the right decisions. I want to know how to do that. And he gives it to him. And it's a wisdom, again, in this case, it's a wisdom that says, know how to deal with situations. Know how to do things. Know how to speak properly about things. And you know what he says? I'll give it to you. Verses 11 and 12, because this was in your heart, and you've not asked for riches, wealth, honor, or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge of yourself, that you may judge your people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. Wouldn't we want this type of wisdom? Well, but it'll provide peace. You know, how much? What's the one thing in life that everybody desires? It's peace. We just like that peaceful way of life. Well, it's not going to give us that kind of peace. What we've got to understand is, the kind of peace he's talking about is a peace, an inner peace, because I now have peace with God. It's an understanding that I'm not going to get along with everybody in life. It's just not going to happen. But I'm going to tell you the medicine for it. We talked about it today, didn't we? We found out that the best medicine that you'll ever get for this problem of anxiety is what? Be anxious for nothing. Really, how am I going to accomplish that? How am I not going to be anxious about things, God? I live in this life and there's just all these things that are coming in about. Be anxious for nothing. How do you accomplish it? But in everything. Everything? Everything. By prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. When we got the good news about Jenna, what was the first thing we did? We thanked God. We believed it was Him. We didn't believe that it was anything other than God. Because the truth is, we'd prayed about it. We either believed that or we just thought, oh, that just worked out okay. No, I don't think so. And that's one thing I appreciate about the prayers here. Very thoughtful, thinking about the things that are needful, understanding our relationship with God, and that's something we need to continue to certainly work on. But this is one thing we all need. So how do I get it personally? I pray and pray and pray. How do I accomplish that? Be anxious for nothing. Now, can I go to other people when anxiety sets in? Certainly. But what's the first thing that they should try to turn me toward when I'm anxious about something? God. Yeah, first thing, turn them to God. I don't care if they're Christian or not, turn them to God. Tell them it's God, and only God can help you. You know, you can take all the medication in the world, and I'm not, again, I know there are people that have serious problems out there. But he's talking about our normal, everyday walks of life for those people who, and certainly there are people who their minds have even completely gone, and I understand that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about this is a normal way of life where we all have the ability to understand. The Christian will find their hearts and minds then guarded by the peace of God, and that's the wonderful thing. He goes on to say, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You want to be guarded? You want to understand and think, wow, I don't have to concern myself. I don't care what happens in this life. I've got this peace. Isn't it amazing, as we studied Philippians today, how Paul just calmly approached death? He had peace. Inner peace. Was anybody going to take that away from him? No. Wouldn't we want that peace of mind and heart that surpasses understanding? It'll provide quietness, stillness, tranquility. Did you notice Mike in his prayer? He prayed about our government. But you know the one thing it specifically mentions is that. We find in Daniel 4:17 that after Nebuchadnezzar had seen this image and so forth, that Daniel, his dream, and had been humbled in seeing this image and the things that were going to happen to him. It is said in 4:17, this decision, when he's telling him about this particular dream, he says, this decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. gives it to whomever He will, and sets over it the lowest of men. He's saying, Nebuchadnezzar, I put you in that position, and you know what? I'm going to take you out when I decide. Romans 13, 1 through 7, he says, why was government put in the first place? Well, he said it was to take care of the evildoers. And he said, I put it there basically to protect my people. And I would encourage you to read through that. And we certainly have certain situations where we owe the government certain things. But let me tell you what will take care of more than that. Turn to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. He says in verses 1 through 4, I exhort. In other words, I'm urging, I'm pushing you that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Why? That we may lead. And I know you've heard me say this in my prayer. This is why. That we may lead a quiet, tranquil, still life. Now, remember when this was written. During the time of the Roman government. What did he say to do? Pray that you might be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. See, he's saying, even in the midst of the struggles and the turmoil and this terrible government that they lived under, pray about it. Would God answer that? Absolutely. They were able to, in the hardest times, live tranquil lives because that didn't mean that they weren't going through things in life. But tranquility, stillness, quietness would set in because they were able to perform what they needed to do to get through this life. Wouldn't we want to live in? Well, let's pray about it. It'll provide healing. In James 5, 14, 15, he said that if one is sick, call for the elders. What do they do? Well, they'll come and pray over you at this point. And what did he say? They'll pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord and the prayer. What does he say will raise them up? The prayer of faith. Is that still available to us? A prayer of faith today? It will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. That's powerful. And so, pray about the sins as well. And what do we find? Then he goes on 16, confess your faults one to another, pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Think about this for a moment. He says, as a child of God, you can have physical healing and spiritual healing. Now, we're going to talk about in the second part of this lesson about God, but in the first part, this is us. Wouldn't we want God's healings from physical and spiritual ailments? But as a Christian, it'll provide forgiveness. Just talking will provide... Doesn't that amaze you sometimes? Don't you wish you had that relationship with other people? Don't you wish you could easily go to them and just say, I'm sorry, and they'd forget it? But no. No. There are people who hold things against you till the day you die. Don't ever do something to them. I don't care how many times you tell them I'm sorry. They're going to remember it. God? No. I believe Nick used this in his lesson. It's one of my favorites from the book of Psalms, about He will take our sins and He'll put them as far from us as east to west. East and west never meet. He's saying, your sins aren't even going to get close to you anymore. They're gone. Don't worry about it. So the Christian can get this kind of forgiveness once he becomes a child of God. This person can get it. If we walk in the light, He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from most of our sins. That's not what He says. Cleanses us from all sins. How? Well, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Who's He talking about here? He's talking about the Christian. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Who do I confess it to? Him. I tell God, I did this, I'm sorry. And He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sins, we make Him a liar and the truth's not in us. We find in Acts 8, verse 22, that Simon the sorcerer, after he had sinned, he was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And what did Peter say to him? Well, he was already a Christian. He'd been immersed in water for the remission of his sins. What could he do about this now? He couldn't go back and do that again. Didn't need to. He said, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven to thee. Of course, Simon asked him to pray for him, which he could do. But Simon could pray for himself. He didn't have to have Peter pray for him. Wouldn't we want forgiveness for God for our sins and His children? Isn't that powerful? That I can have that just removed from me. I can turn to God and say, I'm sorry. This is what I did. Prayer is a blessing from God. What a blessing. Can you imagine you have this ability to call up, let's say, the President of the United States and say, you know, I'd appreciate it if you could talk to my neighbor and tell my neighbor to quit letting his dog run on my property. And that might sound silly. And he did. He calls and he makes that possible. He says, that dog will no longer... That might sound silly to us. But think about this. I can talk to God about the smallest thing in faith. And then we'll talk about how He answers them in the second part. But you think about that. What a blessing. It is more powerful than all physical weapons. I don't think we understand this. It cures... Oh, I'm really getting bad about writing. Cures any other physical thing that man can dream of. It is a blessing for the one who prays in faith. For the one for whom the prayer is offered. It's a blessing for those people. It's a blessing for me when I can pray in faith and I can see the results of that. I'm going to tell you something. As I'm getting older, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how many prayers God just answers for me. Why? Why me? Who am I? But I know He does. There's no other explanation for something happening that I just prayed for. And you just noted that when those apostles prayed for boldness, when did they get it? 10 years down the road? Immediately when they prayed for that. God is waiting to help. He's just waiting there to help us. We have a great high priest who understands. Says we don't have a high priest who doesn't understand. He understands our weaknesses. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But He doesn't hold that against us. As a result, He says, therefore let us come boldly before the throne of grace, so we might find grace to help in time of need. We come boldly before His throne. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Revised Standard Version says, has great power. Is what the words mean, full of power, can accomplish much, other versions. Therefore, if this is true of a righteous person, how much more power is available to many righteous people? If we get together and we pray about something and we earnestly do that in faith, let's don't start saying to ourselves, okay, now that God's answered it, I don't like that answer. Let's believe it'll happen the way we want it to happen. He loves us very much. We should pray always, continuing earnestly, without ceasing. You know, that's those three verses I used up front. You don't have this powerful weapon? Only one way. Become a Christian today. That's what it takes. Become a child of His. And you have it. Are you a believer in Christ? Repent and be baptized in for the remission of your sins today. We're going to stand and sing a song. If you have any needs, we certainly would be happy to help you in any way we can. Please stand.